Hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. This is the JRPG Report, episode 186. How are you guys doing? I'm doing awesome. It's 2 days before I leave on vacation, so why? Of course I'm in a good mood, and I hope you are too. We've got a lot of fun stories to talk about on the podcast today. Speaking of vacation, like I said, I'll be out next week, but as soon as I'm done with this podcast, we've got a couple questions to answer for our mailbag show, so that'll kind of hold you guys over while I'm gone. And when I am back, we'll be back to our regular scheduled podcast. I guess it'd be the 21st will be the next official release of your JRPG reports. But let's kind of wrap up Tokyo Game Show, and then there actually was a bunch of stuff that came out after that. I kind of just lumped everything in together. So I know this story came from TGS, and that is what we thought it was going to be. That's Atelier Sophie 2, The Alchemist of the Mysterious Dream. It is real, it's a thing, and it's coming a lot sooner than you thought it was going to, you know. Typically, these first announcements, it could be years before we see an actual product, but it's coming in 4 months. barring any setbacks, it will launch on February 24th, 2022 in Japan, the next day worldwide. Those are the announcements that I love to hear. It gets you that perfect amount of excitement, but still, especially in this case, gives you an opportunity to play the first one before this one comes out in just a few months. Sophie has been sitting in my backlog. Sadly, if you're actually watching on YouTube, we're trying something new and we're recording this. And you can physically see the backlog over there of PS2. I got the PS5 a couple of months ago, and it's already got a backlog growing. So Sophie quickly rose up the ranks of the backlog. I may even play it next, as I've been kind of craving a turn-based JRPG. Not to be, don't just settle for the standard edition of Atelier Sophie 2. You can get the limited edition from NIS America. It's going to cost you $120. You get that copy of the game. You get Japanese imports of the official art book, bonus soundtrack, original art B3 fabric poster, and Sophie's whale necklace keychain. You can wear it and be the coolest kid in town. A download code for the My New Look costume and a special box. Pre-orders are available now on the NIS America online store. The link is in the article that you can see on both our Facebook page and Twitter channels. Here's an overview of the game via our friends at Koei Tecmo. Atelier Sophie 2, The Alchemist of the Mysterious Dream, continues the story of Sophie and, I guess it wouldn't matter if I play this game or not because there's no English dub for the game, so I'm not sure how they say this. Plachta's Mini Adventures, Plachta. After leaving Sophie's hometown of Kirchen Bell, the pair discovers a huge tree identical to the one Plachta, we'll just say that, has seen in a dream. And as they get closer, a mysterious vortex pulls them in. Sophie awakens alone in a curious new world called Airwidge, and it's not long after that she hears about an alchemist named Plachta that lives on the outskirts of town. Shockingly, when Sophie arrives at the atelier, she meets a young alchemist enthusiast named Plachta, and even though the alchemist shares the same name as her friend, she doesn't recognize Sophie. What other surprises await her on this journey? As the adventure continues, Sophie meets aspiring alchemist Razamel Erdemeyer, who willingly agrees to help her in her time of need. The narrative elegantly unfolds with a charming new visual style that combines the art of the Mysterious subseries with the high-quality graphics and animation seen in last year's Atelier Ryza 2. That's very good news, and if you see the announcement trailer and accompanying images, you're like, oh, Yeah, this got the Ryza treatment in the graphics department. On her journey to find her missing friend, Sophie will fight the many monsters that inhabit the lands of Erdi Wish. As soon as players encounter an enemy on the field, the battle begins instantly without any load times or separate screens. Well, a series first. Let's see how that works out. Allowing battles to flow seamlessly. In addition, battle parties now consist of 6 members. Changing up the formula a little bit. With 3 in the front and 3 in the back to form 2 teams that cooperate in multi-linked turn-based battles. So that's kind of piggybacking off of some of the team attacks that you could see in the Ryza series. And maybe, what is that kind of like? Is that Suikoden 3 that had 6 that kind of worked as teams front and back? That was one I didn't care for as much, shockingly. So we'll see how this, let's see how it works. This new battle system opens up a wide range of exciting combat strategies that players can utilize to take out their foes. As with previous entries in the Attila series, alchemy plays a huge role in the game. It builds upon the panel synthesis feature featured in the Mysterious subseries, where materials are placed into the panel slots to create new items. The game allows both aspiring and veteran alchemists to synthesize items in a way that is comfortable to them due to the 2 different panel types. Regular panels make it easier to create items, while restricted panels are complex to master, but allow for items with stronger effects to be synthesized. So again, there was that announcement trailer that went along with that. You can check that out on our YouTube channel to see how it all looks. In addition to the new game being announced, there was a new Atelier Sophie figure that is coming, as well as a new Ryza figure via the Good Smile Company. This was announced at One Hobby 34, which always kind of coincides with Tokyo Game Show. The Ryza figure is from the first game, and Sophie has yet to be revealed. It's coming soon, but you can imagine it's going to look pretty cool. These new updated look closer to what Sophie 2 looks like, I would have to guess. No prices or timelines were announced for it, but just know that they are coming soon. Something I'd be curious on, because I would love to add a Ryza figure to my collection, but most of them are pretty expensive. So maybe this one is a little bit more on the more affordable end of the spectrum. Stick around to the end of today's podcast. I've got a special interview with friends over at Siliconia had an interview with the developers of Sophie 2, with Gust Head and producer Gunzo Hosai, to find out what people can expect from the trailer, but we'll throw that in there at the end. So we've got some other big news to get to. It's, of course, not a JRPG, but our friends over at Super Smash Brothers have gotten a couple JRPG characters. We know there's Dragon Quest characters in there, and Mithra and Pyra showed up from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And by far the biggest or the most requested person to make an appearance and the final Super Smash Brothers Ultimate character to be added is Sora. Yes, the Kingdom Hearts star will be making his appearance soon. I'm not exactly sure. Let's see. He will launch on October 18th. There you go. So in a little while. It was one of those kind of no-brainer decisions. Just kind of made sense. Sephiroth is already in there, too. I was trying to think of some other ones that were included. So he finally made it, and which I think they were waiting to add Sora because the Switch had another announcement to make. And that was Kingdom Hearts is coming. So they kind of tied these all together. A release date was not announced for it, but Switch is going to have Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 Remix, though released, 2.8 Final Chapter, and Kingdom Hearts 3 plus Remind is all which I'm not sure how that's going to work, but we'll see. Those are all coming to the Switch. Those are now currently available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC via the Epic Game Store. A total of 10 Kingdom Hearts experiences are coming to the Switch as 3 standalone releases. You'll be able to purchase them all in one as the Kingdom Hearts Intricate Masterpiece Collection. One caveat on this, and I do not know how this is going to work. I'm guessing more details are going to come along. These are cloud versions of the game. I'm not into the PC gaming community as much as I probably could be, or maybe even should be. I don't know what this means. The only thing I can guesstimate by that is certainly not Kingdom Hearts 3. I would imagine the first, 8 games, not counting 3 and Remind, would work just fine on a Switch cartridge, but maybe asking Kingdom Hearts 3 was a little bit much. They're like, okay, this is all just going to come onto these cloud versions of the game. I'm assuming that means they're going to be basically like played it online via the cloud. So you'll need a good internet connection to play because they're going to be basically emulated. The Switch can't really. And I don't know. As soon as I get some more information on it, I'll pass it along to you. But that seems to be the way you're going to be able to play Kingdom Hearts on the Switch. I don't have more details. I wish I did. This was all a part of the Kingdom Hearts 20th Anniversary Collection. First launch, believe it or not, on March 28th, 2002. So coming up this March 28th, 2022, will mark the 20th anniversary. All kinds of merchandise is on the way. These cloud versions of the games coming to Switch was a part of this announcement. There was also an offline version of Kingdom Hearts Union X Cross was available for free. Kingdom Hearts Dark Road release in one go through the ending this winter, and more 20th anniversary announcements are coming. You have to wonder that maybe when we get closer to that March 28th date, it is, okay, here's the past 20 years, and here's the future. It's been speculated, Kingdom Hearts 4, of course we had that big NVIDIA leak that mentioned at that sequel, so you gotta reckon there's always more Kingdom Hearts coming, right? That's death, taxes, and more Kingdom Hearts. You can always be assured that those things are coming, and as I hear more things, I will pass it along to you. I feel like a logical thing, and some people are asking, like, when is PS5? Master Collection, or where you want to call it, with all 10 games coming. It's coming. You know that's coming. Kingdom Hearts in particular has never been shy about re-releasing the exact same content over and over and over for multiple multiple systems and iterations. Not to be outdone, and maybe Sora is coming as well, but Super Smash Brothers is getting amiibo characters for Sephiroth, Pyra, and Mythra. I may add those to my collection of, I don't have any amiibos. That's not that collection, but, getting statues of those characters is not cheap. So maybe this is the next best thing, just to have an amiibo of them and be happy. So yeah, I think that's a good announcement. It's been a long time coming that Kingdom Hearts made its way to Switch. That just, I mean, if you're going to be on Xbox, how can you not be on Switch, right? Just kind of makes sense. But yeah, I'll keep you posted as more stuff comes up as we get closer to that 20th anniversary. Let's knock out a few things that I know for certain happened at Tokyo Game Show that wrapped up the final days of it. Bear with me on this title. Let's just go. Shika Bangaru no Boki on Meshi. There, that's the game you've been wanting for a long time, right? This is the new JRPG from Nippon Ichi Software. They said they were going to make an announcement on a new game coming. I think it was a part of Square Enix's or can we take Moe's thing? I can't recall which it was a part of, but they threw this game out there. It is a dungeon survival strategy RPG, so it fits right along with their bevy of titles coming to the PlayStation 4 and Switch. It's coming very soon. It's going to launch on January 27th of next year in Japan. There was an announcement trailer for it, but not a whole lot of information about it, which is weird for a game that's supposed to be coming out in 3 months. I would dare say this game comes to the West. I don't, you know, see why not. The thing is, it's going to need a new name. I can't imagine that name flying very well in Western. I just said that about details, and there are some details. A key feature of the game is cooking. That's not necessarily what you're used to. It's a dungeon survival tactical RPG where you lead a group of adventurers who are stranded out of a dungeon by gathering food and materials. This is the same character designer who worked on the Disgaea series, as well as Labyrinth of Refrain and The Witch and the Hundred Knight. You probably didn't need me to tell you that if you saw the images. Your first thought probably would have been, hey, this looks like the Disgaea character guy. And in fact, it is. The development on the team has worked for developers of Disgaea, Phantom Brave, Soul Crater, and the World Eaters, and other strategy RPGs. A group of adventurers ends up stranded in a dungeon that they heard was, quote, for beginners, end quote. When their thirst and hunger are at their peak, they come across a corpse of a giant dead monster. Once the group manages to escape, starving to death, they look for a way out. Reach for the surface by eating delicious things, weird things, and everything in between. Hey, that actually sounds kind of interesting. By and large, I kind of want the same thing on Recycle for JRPGs, but every once in a while, it's good to have something a little bit different. You can change the appearance of your adventures at the start of the game. You can create up to 4 characters. Once you have formed a party of 4, head off on your adventures. So it's different designs for the characters. It looks pretty fun. At the beginning of the game, you can change the hair, face, voice, and job of your character. This can also be changed during the game by crafting and using certain items. Jobs range from swordsman, which specializes in sword combat, cook, which can bring a variety of survival foods, and unemployed, which has infinite possibilities. Well, you gotta be optimistic when you're unemployed. Characters will acquire different skills and status growth, so finding your favorite combination is part of the fun. So, yeah, maybe, obviously, you guys know me. I can't do strategy RPGs, but I kind of wish I could, because this thing sounds at least pretty interesting. And, I don't think it's going to be called Shika Banguru no Boki Meshi. But once that gets a Western announcement, if it does, I will let you know what that new name is. For years and years, we've talked about Dragon Quest X, which is, of course, the online MMORPG type game that is for, started on the Wii, I believe, and has made its way up to PS4, PS5, even now Switch and PC. A little while ago, they announced the offline edition. And while there is no word yet on a Western release, this at least, opens the door to the possibility of the game making its way west now that it's offline, in my opinion. This offline version is coming on February 26th in Japan. Users who have purchased the PS4 version will be able to upgrade to PS5 for free. This is a large-scale expansion coming called the Sleeping Hero and Guiding Ally Offline, which follows the main game of it. I think it's interesting. We've not talked a lot about the game on here. It looks a little bit dated graphics wise, but the game's been going on for a long time in Japan, and maybe there's a reason for it. We'll see if this thing comes west or not. Like I said, this at least gives the possibility of it. I would still say it's pretty low, probably in that 5 to 10% chance, but You just never know. It's definitely possible. A second trailer has been revealed for Blue Reflection Second Light from publisher Koei Tecmo and developer Gust. This kind of dives into the day-to-day happenings and shows the English, was it voice? Is it still? I think it's just, yeah, it's still just subtitled. That's right. But it did have the English subtitles, at least for it. Blue Reflection follows the adventures of three students as they find themselves transported to a mysterious floating academy looking for ways home. On one day, a strange new space spreads out beyond the outskirts. They explored. Unfortunately for the heroines, this almost dreamlike land of the hardscape can also be extremely dangerous. So magic girls are required. This game has a lot of Sailor Moon type transformations and girl power and magic girl stuff going on. But it looks like a pretty good battle system at the same time. So it's at least intriguing to a lot of players. The game is due out for PS4 and Switch on October 21st in Japan. And PS4, Switch, and PC via Steam on November 9th in North America. Also announced is that there is a demo for it in Japan. This was part of their TGS presentation. A demo is available in Japan right now. This will include the prologue of the game. Clearing it will reward players with a special rabbit headband. This is a cosmetic item that can be worn in the full release of the game. You do need a Japanese or East Asian PSN or Nintendo account in order to experience the game. I think I read that your progress will be carried over since it's the prologue, but not seeing that confirmed right here. I think we're going to get this demo. I think it would be a very good idea for the West to get this demo. I mean, Blue Reflection was a small release in the West, so this game shows a lot of promise. I feel like a demo could go a long way to encourage players to give this one a chance. Maybe it just needs a little bit, where this demo is available now, and the game comes out on the 21st, 2 weeks before. Maybe that means we see it on at the end of October. We'll have to wait and see. If I hear an announcement of that demo coming West, I will let you guys know about it. We talked a little bit about Relayer last week. We know it was at Tokyo Game Show, and they showed off 8 minutes of gameplay for the demo. This was a special stage for TGS. It kind of shows it in the trailer, and it shows off, it pretty much focuses on an 8-minute battle game plan. The more I see of this thing, I don't think it's for me personally, but I think it's going to be pretty interesting. It is due out, again, the only thing they're confirming right now is that it's coming out for PS5 and PS4 on February 17th of next year in Japan. This is the, if you don't recall, this is the space opera type deal. It will support English, Japanese, French, Italian, German, Spanish, traditional Chinese, and Korean language options. If you're curious about this or any of the other games we've talked about with trailers, of course you can check out our YouTube channel, and I'll keep you posted on if this turns into a worldwide release date. That was their plan. The game got pushed back, so we'll have to see if that is still the plan or not. Lastly, the only thing I knew that came out of TGS, I can for sure, everything's kind of gotten a little jumbled up, is Sega, they were talking about a new mobile JRPG. It has been officially announced as Sin Chronicle. They first teased it back in September. It will launch on December 15th in Japan. You can pre-register on the App Store or Google Play in Japan. No word on if it's coming worldwide or not. This is a true role-playing game where you determine the ending. As the climax of each chapter approaches, you will have two final choices: who will live and who will die. The fate of the world depends on your decisions. There are no do-overs, two choices of fate, and only one opportunity to choose. Your hands will shake and your soul will tremble. Do you like it when these things happen? I don't always like it when I've got like a final choice to make, and because you're afraid you're going to make the wrong choice. Each character has a story, and the allies you make along your journey will affect the outcome of the story. You can freely roam vast fields and hack and slash your weapon in speedy, turn-based battles. Sounds pretty good. There's a teaser trailer for it if you're curious about how it looks, as well as some gameplay elements as well. You can check out the gameplay trailer in our link via our social media channel. So I'll have some more information on Sin Chronicle, hopefully, if it makes its way to the West for mobile devices. Speaking of demos, Monarch is getting a demo in Japan as well. And it's out maybe by the time you listen to this. I don't know. It will release on October 8th in Japan for PS4, PS5, and Switch. Publisher Fuvaru and developer Historia announced. No word on a Western demo, but maybe we'll get it closer to the full release of the game. Save data from the demo can be carried over to the full game when it launches next week on October the 14th in Japan. This one's not coming out until early 2022 in North America, in Europe, alongside the worldwide release of the PC version. So maybe once they get that Western release, we'll get a demo for Monarch as well. Tales of Arise announced a paid DLC content for a Sword Art Online collaboration pack. It will launch, it's out today, October 7th. Users who purchase this pack will be able to fight Kirito and Asuna from Sword Art Online, as well as obtain Kirito's weapon and new outfits for Alphen, Xion, and Law, plus unlock an exclusive Mystic Art. Yeah, more paid DLC for Tales of Arise. There's been a lot of games with a lot of paid DLC, and Arise may take the cake. There's a lot, and it's very expensive. And so here's some more. There's a trailer that went along with this. You're seeing that now if you're watching on the YouTube version. It's pretty cool. It actually shows everybody fighting and then gaining each other's outfits. So pretty cool stuff. Of course, these are both Bandai Namco properties, so it kind of only made sense that something like this would go along with it. A bunch of stories from Square Enix. They were busy after TGS. They filed an English and Japanese trademark for, quote, Valkyrie Asylum, end quote, in Japan back in September. The trademark suggests but does not confirm a new entry in the Valkyrie Profile series is on the way. The last game in the series, Valkyrie Anatomia, The Origin, launched on iOS and Android devices back in 2016 and worldwide in April of 2019. Hopefully, this is not a series that I've ever gotten into personally, but I know there's a lot of Valkyrie Profile fans out there. And for your sake, I hope it doesn't mean there's just another mobile game coming. I know that's not what you want to hear. I'm not sure if that's what anybody wants to hear. So maybe this is just the beginnings of a console release. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you. There's a bevy of Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy products coming. In particular, what's called desk mats. And I'll be honest, I was unaware of these products. So, you know, you've got your traditional mouse pads. Everybody's got a mouse pad. But this is something that's much bigger and looks to encompass, you know, a good square size area that would hold, obviously, your mouse and could put your keyboard on top of it and give you a lot more range. I'm thinking this is very, very helpful in playing PC games. In particular, it gives you plenty of room to hold your mouse. Now, I work on my computer all day long, so I've got my fancy wrist rest for my mouse pad, but these are pretty cool. So first, the ones that are coming out for Dragon Quest, there's three of them in particular, and one kind of shows like just all the monsters with Dragon Quest, Symbol and the Mirror. There's tons and tons of monsters on it. The other one is a fewer number of monsters, but they're all kind of, they're small 8-bit versions of them. Pretty cool looking. And maybe the coolest one of the three, in my opinion, is just kind of the overworld. It looks like from Dragon Quest 2 or 3, and maybe even 4, but it's that old school overworld look to it. It's got some enemies on the on there, as well as there's a couple of slimes hanging out. That's fine. Those were not shown, but it's got the wagon on there, so maybe it is from 4. It shows a castle. It shows a ship in the water. Shows, you know, a cave entrance and the bridge. So it's kind of got all those things put in there, along with the trees and mountains and hills. I like that. I like it a lot. And I think these are all going for $34.99. You can get those three on the Square Enix North America eStore. In addition, I think these are on there as well from Final Fantasy. Let's see. One. I see 9 of them on here. And various things. Let's see. Where is that from? I'm not sure what game that one is from. Let's see. That's there's an overview. There's a big shot of Midgar at night. There's the one from Remake with Square and Sephiroth on it. You got a Final Fantasy VI one, which is the cover. That's pretty cool looking. I might need that. There's a Final Fantasy V. There's one from 4 with the remade kind of, I think the mobile version sprites on it. There's one from 2, from 1, and I believe that's 3 as well. So head over to the Square Enix North America online store and you can see those, or just follow the links that are in the social media profiles. It says the Final Fantasy ones are going for $30, and they will release on January 22nd. We'll see if that translates or not, but I don't know. Like, part of me thinks that's not bad. It's a good value. But, you know, if you got your keyboard on there, it's kind of going to be covering up some of the art. But, you know, these companies will slap an image on anything if they think that you will pay good money for it. So before TGS, we had talked about a pretty cool event that was going to go on with Final Fantasy series creator Hobonori Sakaguchi, as well as he was interviewing Final Fantasy 16 producer Naoki Yoshida. I've not seen a translation or any video of that event, so maybe they didn't get recorded. I don't know. I'm not seeing anything of it other than this. So it was revealed that FF16 will have an expansive skill tree system. Yoshi-P noted that the decision to include skill trees was made to provide a feeling of growing a character in a way that felt unique and personal to the players. Discussing Fantasian, Sakaguchi stated that one of the best feelings was when playing an RPG was when its new skill tree was unlocked. He noted how one of the core aspects of RPGs is the ability to customize within the confines of a predefined character. To this, Yoshida revealed that FF16 would feature a skill tree that expands out similar to Fantasia. When explaining the decision, they both agreed and stated that, quote, there are usually two ways to play a character. You can either put yourself into the shoes of a predefined protagonist, like in Final Fantasy XIV, you can become the hero, but even in the case where you play a predefined hero, it's better to have some sense of customization in the character's progression as it gives wider options of play. There you go. Sakaguchi also praised Final Fantasy XIV for its ability to make players feel like they are the Warriors of Light, even when surrounded by other players. Not a lot to go on there. Nothing really at all, and nothing surprising, to be quite honest. I thought I read somewheres, and I can't find it, that Final Fantasy 16 was going to have multiple difficulties, including like a like story, normal, and then hard mode. And it was to allow for players that weren't good at action-based games, kind of like what Tales of Arise does with its story mode, and same thing that happened like with Persona 5 Strikers. You know, easy mode is not unusual in games, but it does kind of lead to the idea that this is going to be maybe a lot more action-based in some of our Final Fantasies that we would probably more like to see. Moving on from Square Enix, people can now check out the Neptunia x Senran Kagura Ninja Wars opening movie. It's on our YouTube channel if you would like to check out. This is the translated version of the video, so all the cast members and details are translated. It's got all the major and minor characters in it. You can check out, it's got the theme song, Ote Odo Otomi wa Tashiyashi by Akasi. She's sung the themes for many different anime series and games before. Like I said, if you want to check that out, you can on our YouTube channel. The game is due out on PS4 on October 26th in North America and October 29th in Europe. A new trailer was also revealed, a new gameplay trailer for That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. Aseki Memories. You can check that out on our YouTube channel. The game has got pre-registration open for it, but has not come out quite yet. It's supposed to come out sometime in 2021, though, so you shouldn't have too much longer to wait on that one. The three-minute trailer led by Rimuru and Feldora shows English gameplays. Gameplay includes a peek at the turn-based combat system and a more detailed look at how players will help Tempest grow and thrive as they progress through the story. Quickly want to mention that Tales of Festival 2021 will begin in late November. One of the key things that's going to go on at this is a bunch of live music. So that could be interesting. It's going on 2 days on November the 20th and 21st. As we have Tales of Arise now, I do not anticipate any new Tales information. I think we'll get more clarification, perhaps even a release date for Luminaria, if we have not got it already by then. It's kind of a sad note to pass along, but legendary Dragon Quest series composer Kyoichi Sagiyama has passed away. He due to complications involving septic shock. He wrote songs for Dragon Quest series since its inception in 1986 and was even working on Dragon Quest XII. He passed away on September 30th of this year, but yeah, that's 90 years old. But Dragon Quest will never be the same without him, but at 90, you are thankful that you lived a long, prosperous life. Then people will always remember his work and leaves it up to the next generation of composers to carry on that work in Dragon Quest XII. His music in particular has played a huge role in my life, and certainly thank him for all of his work, and may he rest in peace finally. I mentioned that there would be that last interview. It's come to that time, so we'll take a look at kind of what went into making Atelier Sophie 2. I'd like to welcome Brian to our family of supporters of the JRPG Report. Thank you so much for his monthly contribution over on Patreon. If you like what you hear here and enjoy what we do each and every week, please consider financial support. You can do it directly through the Anchor app, through the link below. It might be easier and more preferred to do it through Patreon. If you're already supporting other projects over there, you can easily select your level of backing, and we appreciate everyone who has chosen to do so. If you don't want to do either one of those monthly options and you just want to make a one-time donation, that is perfectly fine. The link is below. You can do that at jamesfisherproductions@gmail.com via PayPal. That would be super awesome as well. Follow all of our social media channels over on Facebook and Twitter, as well as signing up on YouTube for all the videos that we talk about. You can see the Sophie announcement trailer as well as gameplay. They had gameplay for it. I just downloaded the entire presentation, so I'm going to snip that out and throw it up on YouTube this afternoon. But you're hopefully seeing that as you're listening to this interview right now with Gust Head and producer Gunzo Hosai. The first question was, what prompted a return to Sophie and Plotch's story after so many years? How did work get started? He mentions that the series will be celebrating its 25th anniversary next year. In honor of this landmark year, we're thinking about what kind of title could act as an opening title to kick off the celebration. Let me just quickly say, somebody commented that they were saddened for me because I'm such a Ryza fan that because Sophie 2 was announced, that meant that Ryza 3 was not. And there's six announcements coming as a part of this 25th anniversary. This is one of them. I would put money on towards the end as we get closer, Ryza 3 is coming. So just quickly throwing that out there. He continues, the Atelier series is one that is a result of moving forward with our fans. So we re-examined our past titles and how players have responded to them on social media, the results of online popularity polls, etc. In addition, the decision of having a returning protagonist was based on the very positive reception after Atelier Ryza, Ever Darkness and Secret Hideout. So we started considering creating a story with Sophie and Placha. Also, in Sophie, she was a novice alchemist, then in Atelier Farius was a teacher of alchemy. Then, in Atelier Liddy and Sulu, she grew into an alchemist that has reached an extraordinary level. Obviously, during that growth, Sophie and Plasha would have had many experiences. So, we thought that we were being able to show one of those experience periods as a sequel, and the new title would be really fun and filled with surprises. So that's when we took shape and decided to move forward with it. They ask, how did Ryza and its sequel shape this new installment in Sophie's story? He says, the Secret series is completely different to the story of Atelier Sophie 2. From a technical and system standpoint, there is an influence. I think that takes the form of good influence that matches this game. However, it is not just simply incorporating it. But we fine-tuned it in a way that is unique for this game, and able to create a world that is unique as well. Noko and Yugen both return as the artist for the game. How did their approach change for the heroines after so many years? The illustrators that I know are people that are continuously changing and evolving. But I think there was a lot of pressure and a challenge to take characters designed over 5 years ago and add something new without losing those key characteristics. Despite that, both illustrators have a very strong fondness for this game, so we're able to interpret what we wanted specifically for the game into their design. Next question. In terms of overall timeline, where does it fall? He says, it's a story that takes place between Sophie 1 and Atelier Farius, so kind of before she becomes a renowned alchemist. When designing Irde Wedge, what did you do to make it unique and stand out? We created with the idea of making a map that gets you excited and ends up taking much longer than we and it ended up taking much longer than we expected. As a result, we were able to create fields of various designs that were both enjoyable visibly and for exploration. Razmil Ermeyer is an entirely new heroine. What did you have in mind when creating her? She is the mediator for Irde Wedge, so is a character who is reliable and has a strong core. But even though her role is as a mediator, she has a very dynamic personality. We made sure that she's not only seen as a reliable person by the residents, but someone who was reliable and loved by them. How this installment's battles change? Also, how much of the focus on fighting will there be compared to the alchemy portion? He says, what I can reveal at this point is that the biggest change to the seamless shift from the fields to battles. In terms of focus between synthesis and battle parts, I think it will be changed depending on the player's preference. In order to synthesize, materials are needed. In order to obtain materials, they need to be gathered through exploration. During exploration, encounters with monsters lead to battles. So the foundation of the game cycle hasn't changed, and players can progress through the game by balancing how they handle synthesis, gathering, and battles. It's a pretty even split. However, you do spend a lot of time in alchemy. So I think if you are new to Atelier, you just got to kind of recognize that it's going to be a bigger part of the game than you probably think it's going to. He says, one of the new battle elements is dual trigger, which involves people working together to fight. Is this the only relationship element of Sophie 2, or will it be other friendship and love mechanics? He says, at this point, all I can say it is not the only relationship element. Has alchemy changed in Sophie 2, and what new elements do you think are most interesting mechanically? Synthesis is based on the same puzzle-like system used in the Mysterious series, where materials are placed on a panel and synthesized. At this time, the new restricted panel has been added. In the first Sophie game, selecting the alchemy cauldron was to use changed the results of the synthesis and the restricted panel in a similar fashion to that. The restricted panel is a panel that is more challenging, such as having several squares blocked off where materials can't be placed, but can synthesize items with higher effects that can't be created through normal synthesis. So it's a little bit different. Don't have to wait long for this one. Atelier Sophie 2 will come to Switch, PS4, and PC on February 25th of 2022. And that's going to do it for episode 186. Hope you enjoyed this one. I've had a little bit of everything this week. Don't forget, I'll be off next week on vacation, but I'll have a special mailbag show coming for you, and we'll be back with our regular scheduled podcast on the 21st. Thank you so much for listening. My name is James Fisher, signing off for this week. Until next time, guys, get back out there and level up.